This is exactly right.
Hi, I'm Erin Welsh.
And I'm Erin Alman Updike, and we're the hosts of This Podcast Will Kill You on Exactly Right.
We're back with our seventh season, which is bigger and better than ever.
Because guess what? We're now a weekly show.
This season, we're tackling everything from long COVID to norovirus, from the supplement industry to IVF, and so, so much more.
New episodes drop every single Tuesday.
Follow This Podcast Will Kill You wherever you get your podcasts.
Are you leaving? Are you on your way back home? Either way, we wanna be there. Doesn't matter how much baggage you claim. Give us a time and date, terminal and gate. We wanna send you off in style. We wanna welcome you back home. Tell us all about it. Were you scared or was it fine?
With Karen and Chris. Welcome to Do You Need a Ride? This is Chris Fairbanks.
And this is Karen Kilgara.
We're in line at Starbucks. I didn't want to include your order because I want to respect your privacy.
Thank you. I'd never want someone to surprise me by knowing my Starbucks order and getting it for me.
Right, right.
That would be an incredible invasion of my privacy.
Yeah, yeah. It's like anytime I find out that someone's paying attention to what I like, it's very invasive.
That's when you know you've got to get out.
Yeah.
Somebody gives you a perfect Christmas present, never contact that person again.
Yeah.
They're up in your business.
Yeah. Why are you paying so much attention to me? How did you know I'd want this?
You're a liability now to me. I can't now I've got an open flank. Now I've got a weakness. And it's you. Others can get to me through you. What are we talking about?
I think we're just talking about Big Brother being able to get your information.
That's right. We're talking about the dark web. We're talking about the Silk Road.
We're talking about Cambridge Analytica. We're talking about
Encyclopedia
Britannica.
Yes.
How did you know?
Because I'm good at comedy.
My wife. Oh. I'm sorry. Once again, I'm always... you know how I'm always...
Constantly fixing and tweaking.
But it sounds all right. Last time, I got to stop this stereo thing that we've been doing.
I thought people liked it.
Sometimes, but I think sometimes they're listening at work and their boss is to the right and they only have a one pod in their left ear. And then so they only hear you talking or me talking.
Are you saying that there are clowns to the left of them and jokers to the right?
Yeah.
And that they're stuck in the middle with us? Yeah.
Werewolves of Loon. Arugula. Werewolves of London. Werewolves of London is like a high-end bag store, right?
Yeah. Oh my God, did you get your bag at Werewolves? I love it.
Of London, yes, I did.
Your bag, but it's actually a plastic bag from the grocery store. But it's from Werewolves of London.
And you're just a homeless person, not having... You're talking to a parking meter? Nothing against the homeless. I say homeless when I mean just people in the streets.
Right. Just anyone out in the streets.
My heart goes out to people without homes.
Oh, that's good of you.
I feel like anytime I make comments about homeless people... I am talking about... I live in Venice, and there are people with seaweed in their hair that are screaming.
Yeah.
And it's much more than just they don't have a house. It's a thing that makes me feel bad. And I want people to know I think about it all the time.
Yes. You can't help but when you're on the west side of Los Angeles there is a serious issue every single day. Well, mm-hmm. and also now everywhere in Los Angeles, those tent cities are popping up everywhere. It's
they horrifying. Really are.
It's crazy. On just any street.
You used to have to go specific. Did you know Skid Row is on a map, that part of downtown?
Yo, yeah, it's a real place.
It's a place.
Uh-huh. It's a famous place.
Was it there and then they knew to move there? Or was it named after the tents were already there and they're like, okay, we're going to designate this?
I would. This is a guess, but I think it's an educated guess.
Mm-hmm.
That... because it's down near some kind of, it's either by a like some kind of a helping facility, like say the Salvation Army or a city run governmental one or right. something. So I think people naturally were gathering there because that's where the place they were getting help. And then people just basically maybe were waiting in line to get help, or if there was like a shelter or something. But I think people, yeah, that was the place where if you were down and out, there was one place that might help you in the entire fucking city.
Right.
And it was down there.
And it was down. So it has nothing to do with the band, Skid Row. Is what you're saying.
Well, what I heard was, God damn it, if I could just think of that guy's name.
I know.
Damn it.
Any information I could give you is Ugly Kid Joe specific. And it's not going to help.
But isn't Skid Row the guy that the lead singer was so weirdly good looking?
Oh, Sebastian Bach?
Yes.
Yeah, yeah. He does like Broadway.
I wanted to, if I could just have said Sebastian Bach and finished that sentence, it would have been such a feat.
Trust me. I'm here for the worthless information. You're here to actually talk about things that matter. And yes, I have gone down a Ford Taurus jingle wormhole.
Let's hear about it.
We were singing it wrong. First of all, it's not now there's an American car that has... It's now there is a personal car that... As if up till then Ford was just advertising commercial vehicles and buses and transport vans. Now there's a personal car that has
not so impersonal anymore.
Yeah, there's a personal car in it with the shape and the look that you've been looking for.
Taurus.
Now there's an American car that has exactly what we've been waiting for.
Taurus. Okay, but
Taurus.
Taurus.
Taurus. But then there's a key change and there's a lot more of the song. I didn't know that commercials used to be like 5 minutes long.
Yes.
It is an epic song, and the guy is really putting it out there. And then there's laser sound effects. Remember the beginning of HBO movies? And it is very epic, and there's laser shows wrapping around the oval Ford logo. And it's very like... It's just the most 80s amazing thing ever.
Now, I just want to say this.
I love it.
I feel like you may have been watching a later version, because I think the Taurus commercial I'm singing is the first one, with the very first Taurus. But then it exploded in popularity, and those things were everywhere.
Well, I hate to say this, but they are dated. And this, what I watched, was the very first. The introduction of the tour. But then later, it became the song, like, mellowed out a little.
Okay. And then it became American Car?
He got a little... No, that's just the second verse. And I think they just started it with the second verse. But
okay,
it used to be the first...
Personal Car is crazy.
Yeah, exactly. They thought that. And then they thought that he was singing like Joe Cocker halfway through.
Yes.
He really was going Vane Temple level.
Taurus!
Yeah. There is... it's like, we all know where we're going. Something, something that's proud and true. Thumb, thumb, chin, thumb, thumb. It like, I'm not kidding. There is so many. And then it goes back to Taurus. It's like, there's Frisbee and apple pie in it.
Yes.
It's nuts.
I do remember those old Colt car commercials, the idealized version of America in them, which was predominantly white people, but then a all-black family.
Oh my God, I was just going to say that.
What?
In this commercial, that I was just going to say that they cartoonishly had a flash to a black family. It's like, and these guys are okay too.
Yeah, don't worry about it. You can all get into a Taurus.
It's when I was getting ready. It's so funny that you said that.
Because it's that thing of like, you didn't see it as a, I didn't see it as like a middle-class white kid that they were like, look at America. And you'd be like, yay, I love America. And then it's like, why is the black family not picnicking with anybody else at this? It's a right. totally different party when yeah. they cut to that family.
Yeah, and they had to make sure that the wife wasn't... They all had equal tint of skin. It was yes. very, like... And it's so funny you mentioned that because I was also watching... Before these Paul Ryan tours I did, I was watching a lot of speeches because I had to write an introduction. There's a video that was like a campaign video, and I just wanted to copy things Reagan said. And so I watched a lot of Ronald Reagan and Bush and even Clinton, like, as your president, I'm going to do this, this, and this. And they kept doing that. They would show a black family, and it was so gratuitous and obvious that, oh, we're at Starbucks, by the
yeah.
way. Everyone's gonna know what you got.
It's gonna be $6.75.
Thank you.
Or everyone's gonna know what you spent. But I was surprised that Reagan's video in 1981.
$13.25.
Thank you.
Was very multiracial. He was really trying, or someone was.
Someone was, yeah.
Yeah.
It wasn't him.
It wasn't his idea. You're right. He just wanted to do Star Wars. Point missiles at other missiles.
That's right.
We gotta get the small missiles to shoot the big missiles. That was his biggest, that was his main focus, which is so funny.
Is that true?
Yeah, that and the trade tariff thing, which has ruined our country.
But is the small ruined missiles, us. Big missiles, that was Star Wars, where they were gonna bomb the bombs, basically?
Right.
Okay.
Yeah, that was his, that was billions and billions of dollars that... My dad would be a better person to have in the car right now to talk about
Thank
this.
Thank you. You have a good one. You too.
But my dad's mad at him about that, and then the trade deficit, which is happening again. We're like starting a trade war with China.
Yeah.
Which has no end. That could go on forever because they're not going to back down. They're fucking.
Yeah, China doesn't fuck around.
They aren't going to fuck around. We're screwed.
Yeah. I mean...
That's where Trump had his clothes made. All right. It's fine. We don't have to talk about that stuff.
I think we have talked a little bit about Reagan before because also my mom hated Ronald Reagan quite a bit.
Oh, our moms would have been such pals.
Such good friends.
Yeah. I yep. know they would.
Yep.
Yep.
She really... It's hard to talk and merge into fast traffic.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I know. Trust me.
Okay, good. Here we go.
It's hard to make
motorcycle.
Decisions. I'm trying to make verbal... Yeah. Oh.
Shit!
Oh, God.
Everybody's going fucking 50.
Why?
Because they're dicks. Oh, this was my lane. I could have gone into it the whole time. I don't know why
I didn't
see that.
Your chain is rubbing on the... I'm gonna do that.
Okay.
Sorry, it was rubbing on
That's
the mic.
Okay. That's okay.
And... But that's, you know... This we get the sights and sounds of actual the driving follies and foibles.
That what just happened, although boring, was real.
And I guess it wasn't the sights, it's only the sounds, of course, this big.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, the pictures that your mind projects in
oh,
your
yeah,
movie, mind screen.
The things we say will paint color pictures in your brain.
Now, Chris, you went on tour as Paul Ryan across
yes.
this great American land. And while you were there, you told me you met people who listened to this podcast.
Yes, a lot. It was really pretty cool.
And, I love it.
And a lot of the times I can tell that they were murderinos that transferred over. But mm-hmm. one of the time, I thought these guys, there was a couple guys in Madison, and I thought they were going to be mad. They weren't smiling.
Okay.
But then they bought a poster, and I was like, well, that's a weird way to pick a fight. And they just had, because they had hats, their brims were folded. It's me being close-minded. They had camouflage hats, so I thought, well, they aren't. And then they're like, hey, we're big Do You Need a Ride fans. I was like, oh, wow. Because I was worried the whole tour that some real Paul Ryan fans, you know, because I was in his stomping grounds. I was
yes.
never in his district as a congressperson, but I went to his hometown and stood in front of his office, and people drove by and glared at me.
That's hilarious.
And
But it makes sense that you would be nervous, because that's the entire political engagement that anyone has with anyone these days. you are not going to assume that a guy wearing camo on his hat, this might be California and,
right.
and a Californian idea, but you would be thinking that's a person who likes hunting and who likes his gun control and who
right.
likes this and that, and like it's easy to go just
and
really put someone in that corner.
I think that these guys did like their hunting and their gun control maybe, but they also like our podcast. And they're like,
it.
Well, this is the guy, so I'm going to go. And maybe they didn't agree with, because I was very anti-gun during a lot of my, I just hid my jokes and answer. I couldn't write. I learned as much as I could about, even though it was depressing, about what Paul Ryan actually thought. But
yeah.
then I realized, wait, I just have to fit my jokes in these answers. And then it was really fun.
That's great.
And, but, yeah, it's a lot of Do You Need a Ride fans came, and I want to thank you, especially in Madison. I met some really sweet people after the show.
I want to thank specifically the Deer Hunters.
Yes.
I love your movie.
Yes.
I'm proud that you listen to us.
Yes.
I think it's exciting. Also, I think people, we've all been led down the primrose path to judge each other based on things that actually don't really reflect anything.
Right.
Like, I think if you just saw me standing in the back of a club, you'd think, oh, that's a witch, and she also teaches theater. Right? You wouldn't be giving me all the credit that I am due. That's
right.
just how we do it, you know? And it's easier to go, how will this person be my enemy, so you can be prepared if they start yelling at you,
right.
than to go, they love me.
I was really ready. Yeah, I was on edge and thought that's what I needed to prepare for. But it was just
the exact opposite.
People really, I mean, it seemed Milwaukee and Madison and Chicago, everyone's really nice.
Yeah.
And it was, we met Kathy Myers, who's running for Paul Ryan's district. She's a teacher and she was the best. She came and she
came
was
to
so
the show?
Funny. Oh, she, during the Q&A, came up to the stage, and we gave her the mic, and she was so funny and great and knew exactly how to play it.
That's amazing.
And I tried to urge her to run Republican just because it would give her an edge. Two Democrats. Come on, you want to win this thing? Run Republican. And do what you want afterwards. That's what I did. She's like, actually, that's a pretty good idea. She was so great, and then she hung out and had some beers, and she was there with her daughter and
I love it
and her boyfriend and her campaign manager, and they were the best. She was so cool.
That's great.
And then we went to Randy Bryce's office, the other guy running, so I don't know if we're meddling with both sides or but that's, you know, I'm just playing Paul Ryan for them.
That's right.
And then they helped promote it's a double back scratcher, which to most of you is a sweet ass ski trick. But, you know, it was a mutual symbiosis.
Very cool.
Yes.
And like, now you're a political comedian?
Like,
is what you're saying?
Like the tsetse fly when he warns the buffalo. The bird. Wait. Okay, there's a bird that hangs out on a buffalo that.
Are you thinking of the bird that's the dentist for the alligator?
Right. There's all. Yes, that's better. That's a better one. And then they zoom in on him during a Flintstones episode, and he's like, I hate my job. And then the mouth
it's
closes.
A living quack. One feather.
I'm a dinosaur, but also a garbage disposal. Back under the sink with me.
That fucking bird always said it's living. It was like, I loved those cartoons because it was like Jack Benny style jokes for kids in the 80s.
Yeah,
which
yeah.
is like, why do we fuck, we don't like this comedy.
Yeah, why are they, you thinking kids are going to enjoy, yeah, it's, I'm in a union at least. That's great.
Better call my union.
Now there's a bird that hangs out on a buffalo or a rhino or what, and eats the bugs off his back, and the rhino's like, okay,
yeah.
You can eat my bugs as long as you peck me when there's danger is coming.
I love it.
So the bird's like, there's a tiger over there, and he'll like peck
tap,
his
tap,
back.
Tap.
He's like, oh, thanks for stopping to eat my back, bugs, giving me enough time to run away. I hope I'm not making all that up.
I mean, I feel like I've heard about these types of relationships. Not, I haven't just heard that one specifically.
Yes.
But I love it.
Mutualism.
Is that what it's called?
Yes.
Is it really?
I think so.
Mutualism is a good phrase.
But yes, these politicians were
be really mutualists great. With you?
Yeah. And it's a way to, you know, like Randy's going to come to the LA show here and do have a fundraising situation.
Oh, that's great.
And I think a lot of Democrat people will just show up. And I think it makes sense for him because, you know, there's more money here. People in Wisconsin maybe don't have extra cash, and people in LA out of just wanting to fund the Democratic Party will maybe come and...
Sure.
Or if they went, you know, they may be ex, Badgers.
Ex-Marines?
Ex-Marine Badgers. Or whatever, Wisconsin Badgers. It's a school.
The Badger School?
Yeah, it's just, when I was at Big Sky, there was a house, I was skiing, and there was a house in the middle of a ski run with a hockey rink, and it just said Wisconsin Badgers around the house. I'm like, why does that guy get, this fan of a college team, get to have his house in the middle of, and it must be the actual mascot's house or something.
But, I don't understand any of that story.
It's, yeah, it's disjointed and came at a weird time. And,
but basically, there's a house in the middle of the ski run?
Yes.
What the fuck?
I know. I'm like, why does that house get to be here?
Like, they built everything around it.
And it was a beautiful big house. No, I think the house came later.
Oh, that's weird.
It was a
weird.
Big, nice house, yeah.
Oh, like a rich guy was like, I want to live there.
Yes.
In the middle of everything.
And they're like, okay, you have enough money. I think I'm used to ski areas where I'm from being like Forest Service or Native American land, and you can't just build willy-nilly on. You can't do what you want.
One would hope.
But I think this is private land.
Okay.
And it's this, and then further down the road is the Yellowstone Club, which is like this millionaire. That's where Justin Timberlake goes and does his skiing.
Oh.
Yeah. There's the...
Have you skied there?
No, it's not. It's only for rich people.
You don't... Not even specialists? If you go in there and be like, but I can do tricks?
No, I think because my tricks are... They're of the past.
Oh, you're trying to ollie and stuff?
Yeah, I just... I don't have it in me anymore. But hopefully we get to do a comedy festival there next year and then maybe get it to Yellowstone Club.
Can I pitch an idea?
Yes.
This is how you kind of... speaking of symbiosis, you can just mix all these things together.
Yes.
The next political candidate that you mock, pick one that also skis,
right.
And then you can tour all of the ski resorts in America.
I wish that this had... The only thing this had along those lines was me driving in the snow. I was very horrified, but I got... one of our shows was canceled because a blizzard just came. You know, a mid-April blizzard.
Sure.
Ah, global climate change.
No, that's fake.
Yeah, it is. It's not real. It was, yeah, it would have been nice to have... There was already enough to think about. It would be nice, though, to... I don't think I'm ever going to... I'm getting out of politics is what I'm announcing right now.
Whoa. Hold on.
The only reason I did it is because I kind of look like that guy. I'm not going to try and find anymore. I just wanted to stand up.
Okay. I mean, okay. Whatever.
It was a fun publicity stunt, and it worked, and I enjoyed it, and it was hard, and my hair went gray, and I got a weird rash. I was... got a rash under my eyes. I got a chest rash. All these little hairs that are gray hair, those are new.
Uh-huh.
Because I was in over my head and I was scared.
Yes.
But then it went well. It was fun.
Well, I think that's the exchange that you had to make, right?
Yeah. I guess it is. If you want to do a new thing that challenges you to see if you can do it, you have to get hives on your chest.
On your hide.
I think that I had it everywhere. I had bumps everywhere. It's weird how I just react to things.
Oh, there's a rummage sale at that church next weekend. Church over there.
Oh, yeah. Of course we should rummage through their things. Ooh, another free Bible.
Ooh.
A hymnal book.
Oh, good. A picture of Jesus crying.
Ooh, look. A stack of different macrame owls.
Ooh, a jar full of regret.
Just a jar filled with regrets.
And charcoal. What's that little girl do? Is she by herself?
Nope.
Did you see that little kid when we were driving to Starbucks? There's a little kid sitting on the sidewalk by himself.
I don't like that.
And then, but it turned out all his friends were, it was like he crossed early and all his friends were on the other side of the street and they were all like 12. But it scared me so bad to just see a little kid by himself.
And when we were in the 80s, every kid was just kicking a rock on the corner like, I wish some strange grown-up would pay attention to me. That was every day of my life. It was so normal.
It just, was standard fare.
You just hung out at an intersection of two dirt roads and waited.
To interact with a stranger.
Just waited for
who didn't have a job, was driving around during the day.
Oh, God, that's so scary.
It's insane. Yeah. Child safety is a recent invention.
And it's dear to my heart. But sometimes people can be a little... I was paranoid about it. I think that my mom talked about it a lot. Because every time... But I still walked from the daycare place to school. It was just a few blocks.
Yeah.
But I think the daycare people just were like, looked out the window and they're like, ah, he's fine. They watched me walk halfway. It was just... But the whole time I thought, I'm going to get any van. It was always a white van.
Yes.
Any van that went by, I'm like, well, this is it.
I'm getting grabbed.
Yeah. And I knew what happened after that. I knew.
Because your mom told you. Oh.
Rapey sex.
No.
It was my fear. I'm not kidding. It was my fear. I was so worried about it. I knew they wouldn't just push me around.
No, that's right. Have you heard Julie McCullough's story about...
The rustlers, or tough skins, were coming off.
Do you remember that story Julian tells about when he was like 6 and he was playing at a playground and basically his friend bullied another boy and then his friend left and the dad of the boy they bullied came, grabbed Julian and threw him in the back of a van? But they were driving around to find the other kid, but like Julian was like 6 and kind of didn't know what was going on.
Oh my.
And he was essentially, and for all intents and purposes, kidnapped, but it was because this dad was like, I want to find the kid that hit my kid in the face.
And you're going to help me find him.
Yes. And then he just got dropped off at home. It was like best case scenario of a kidnapping.
Oh, wow. Yeah. It was a very utilitarian kidnapping. It had its purpose.
It didn't. Yes. It was entirely platonic.
Wow. That's a weird dad, though. It's like, who needs revenge on a 6-year-old?
That's a meth dad, or that's a dad that's recently been fired. That's a problem dad.
That was about something else.
Yep.
That was about a foreman. That was aren't you really just mad at your boss, sir? I wish I was that smart of a 6. I don't want to go back in time and relive life, but it would be so fun to be 6 years old and just have our brains just for a day and tell people off and call people out and be like this amazing kid. By the end of the day, you'd make millions of dollars somehow.
Yeah. You'd definitely end up on TV.
Yeah.
Did I ever tell you the story of when I was 6 and it was the first year I played softball and my sister was 2 years older than me and she was on a different softball team. So in the first softball game of the day was my softball game and then afterwards her team played.
Mm-hmm.
And in my softball game, the mother of one of the players on the other team was also the first base umpire. And at one point she called a girl on her own daughter's team safe that was clearly out.
Oh no.
And everyone was like, no way. Like, you did not just do that. And she was like, nope, out. And she, like, stuck by it. And then the next game, that same woman was the coach of my sister's team. And so then we all had to sit together on the same side of the field. And I do not remember doing this, but my mom told me that I did it. The lady walked up to her and goes, good game, honey. And I go, you cheated. You're an adult and you cheated.
That's the best.
And I yelled it into her face in front of everybody. And my mom said she couldn't stop laughing. She just had to like walk me away.
That's so great. What do you remember what her response was?
No, because the memories that I have of it, I remember what like softball field it was on. I remember the day and I definitely remember the feeling of like, what? This is like a movie of somebody being bad. But I'm confusing her face now with like two other relatives' face from my childhood. So she just looks like kind of a mean old lady, and I don't remember any real details.
That's so great.
Yeah.
Yeah, I have so many memories that I don't actually recall. It's just the recollection of my parents telling me my whole life.
Yes.
And, I can't think of any examples, but that's so great. That's exactly what I'm talking about. If you could just be all the way an adult and just go back and have days like that where you just called out adults for cheating.
Yep.
You said, you're a weirdo. You don't stare at those people like that.
Yes.
I know what you're up to. I'm from the future.
I'm not scared of you.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I'd also have to know an adult, have the adult sensibilities when it came to physical defending myself.
Oh, right.
So I'm also like a little kid who knows karate. Not that I know karate now. Easy, sir.
Easy.
We're all excited to get our kids home.
Yes.
But you don't need to be pulling out.
Let's just not go pulling out everywhere.
God, they're all...
God, I hated school. It's 2:45 right now, and all these kids just get out of school, and that is the best feeling ever.
I didn't like school either.
It's just, all I wanted when I was in school was to find out what everyone else was doing. I was obsessed with what people did when all the kids were at school.
Oh, what do you mean, like kids that weren't at school?
Or people. I just wanted to know what was happening in my town that, like, I wouldn't be able to see because I was stuck at school.
Right, right. Locked in a room. Being forced to do remedial learning.
Stupid, dumb learning.
Learning how to tell time.
See, every one of these kids has a parent holding their hand.
Yeah.
And when we were growing up, little kids like that would walk home alone. That little. Like, those are six-year-olds.
It's weird. It is weird. I occasionally will see kids out on their own, and I do want to intervene and be like, where are your parents? But then all of a sudden, I'm the kid. I'm the guy.
Now you're in play. You're being observed.
One time, we were downtown in Missoula, which isn't a huge town, but it was miles back home, and my sister and dad were in the front, and I was getting in the car last, and they just thought I'd gotten in, and they drove off without me.
Yep.
I've told you that. It was horrifying.
And I've told you, I mean, you've told me because I have the exact same story, too.
Oh, right,
What grade were you in?
Ten.
Oh, you're older.
Younger, maybe. Maybe I was young. But a guy tried to help me, and he was the enemy. When he's like, "Are you okay? Why?" And I was like, "Leave me alone! You're gonna kill me!" He's like, "Well, I guess the kid's on his own."
Good on you, kid.
I can't. Yeah,
safe and sane.
I can't remember how I think my dad. Once he got home, he freaked out and retraced his steps, and I was just. Seems like I'd run halfway home, but it was probably a block. And one man tried, because I was like, I was frantic.
Yeah, I bet.
I've been left.
They don't want me anymore. Well, that's what happened. I was in kindergarten, and I watched, my mom was driving carpool that day, and there was like three different families of kids getting in the car. And I just was, again, the last one in. But I didn't, like, the kid shut the door and I was standing there and the car drove away. And then I just immediately burst into tears. And the whatever teacher was standing there was like, Karen, she's gonna come back immediately.
Yeah.
And my mom said that they were driving and that she was like, Karen, you're quiet today. Because, of course, I was the big loud mouth and never stopped talking. And she's like, honey, you're quiet today. And then nobody said anything. They're like, Karen's not back here.
Sorry, your chain is rubbing on the... Sorry. I never got to go to had a carpool situation.
You didn't?
I'm jealous.
Oh, because you live so close?
Yeah, I guess that's why. Yeah, small town, real. Well, they dropped me off at a house, and then I hung out there for a while. I can't remember anything about who that was. An older lady, I think, and then I'd walk from there. And then I was in a daycare, and I'd...
So you had stopped at a safe house on your way to school?
Yes, it was a halfway out. Well, you know, I'd spent most of my early childhood hooked on a bevy of barbiturates.
Yeah.
So then, you know, they put me in the old little kid halfway house where I lifted little weights.
Child on downers.
And I got in a little kid work release program.
Yep, nice. You got your tats. You earned some respect.
They were temporary little kid tats.
Yes.
I just like the idea of little kid prison. I mean, it's terrible. It's a terrible idea.
Well, if little kids ran it, it would be great.
Yeah, it'd be pretty cute.
If you removed the adult element entirely, it would be straight up Bugsy Malone, but prison. That's awesome.
Just a warden in a diaper.
Hold on, I think we need to mail this idea to ourselves because it's really fucking good and someone's going to steal it.
Little Kid Prison?
Yeah.
Okay.
Little Kid Prison, that's a production of Do You Need a Ride Enterprises?
Yeah, we right now.
LLC.
Officially. This is the time-stamped...
Digital time-stamp.
This is a contract-pending announcement. Our idea, Little Kid Prison.
We're driving by a restaurant right now called... it says Happiness You Can Eat.
Yeah, and then it says Hungry Fox.
Hungry Fox.
It's all... They just were throwing darts at a word board.
Word board.
You know those word boards.
I think we might be in, Sun Valley right now.
Sun Valley, Utah.
We're way the fuck out in Utah right now.
My hand hurts.
Stop shaking it around.
It feels good. It's part of my therapy.
No.
I broke my hand.
Is it really part of your therapy?
No. I'm supposed to take it out of this little cast.
Right.
It's half cast. It's a little Phantom of the Opera mask for my hand. But I was skateboarding. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I was worried about my hip. I've been doing all the therapy and everything to get my hip better.
Right.
And I fell on it.
Oof.
And in a very dramatic way, I was with all my friends. We're having a good time. My leg felt good. I messed up and I fell. I got a little frustrated, but my hip was fine. But I was frustrated, I punched my skateboard and I broke my hand.
Oh, no.
And my hip was fine.
Oh.
And it wasn't like I got furious and, you know, like when I was a little kid and I'd try and dent my locker at school. I feel like my bones are brittle. It was so, when it happened and I was like, oh, I clearly broke my hand. There was a little thing jetting out. Not of the skin. I just pushed on it and fixed it. But it was like, that happened too easily. Am I brittle? Do I have Benjamin Button bones?
Are you turning into a baby?
I think I'm turning into it's a weird hybrid old man baby. I am aging, but I'm also becoming the size of a baby. So I'm shrinking and I'm getting, my arms are getting fatter and my face is getting rounder. But I'm still wrinkling.
Okay.
And still on the inside, my organs are aging.
Great. And then you also still wear glasses?
Yes. That's the other thing. Okay. My vision has gone downhill in the last 2 weeks where I read this flapjack pancake mix box because it's racist. That's Paul Ryan. I used to read this box all the time.
Part of the bit, right.
I'll do that here. And months ago, I could read it. I could not read it. Yesterday, I noticed I was looking at my phone and I'd have to hold it away. I've had 1721 vision or whatever. I've had better than... It's been so good, I've never had to learn what the fraction
what the numbers
is.
Are.
Yeah, it's 2020 better than 2020. It always has been. It's been my, you know, it's something I'm proud of. And it just disappeared.
Well, you are... Are you 38?
I'm a 43-year-old man.
Are you, Chris?
Yeah.
You look good.
Well, come on.
I mean...
On the outside, but yeah. My eyes are turning...
That's where it matters.
Wrinkly old man eyes.
I feel like... Because normally it's around in your late 30s, but maybe you got to keep it a little while longer, but...
I think that's
what happened to me, where my sister, because she's 2 years older, she always had worse vision than me. And
right.
I just tracked right in her... wake of my vision failing in the same time frame hers did.
Right.
So she'd be like, oh, you're going to need contact lenses next year.
Oh, wow.
When there's somebody else that's older than you.
Right.
Then you know what's going on. It's it's more obvious that they're squinting.
I have to ask my sister, Lisa.
Yeah, communicate with Lisa more.
I think that you're right. I should anyway. Mm-hmm. It doesn't have to be about our eyeballs.
No. You can talk about hips. You can talk about skateboarding.
Lisa, are you getting our mother's hips? It's inevitable. I'm wearing all her old jeans now. And dancing like this.
Chris, you don't have her hips. You have her jeans.
Quiet. Look at me jazz dance. I love... I love Rob Quist. I don't know. She used to go see a guy named Rob Quist.
Who's like a boyfriend?
No, maybe.
The hell?
Ooh, it's Armenian.
Genocide. That's
genocide
right.
Genocide Appreciation or Commemoration Day. Appreciation. Oh God.
No.
We're raising money for cancer to help promote cancer.
I'm against cancer.
Oh wait. Okay.
I don't want to raise money for it.
I had the wrong idea, I guess.
My pool man, and I know it's a brag. I try not to talk about the pool man that much.
Oh, is he the guy with the little shorts that you're always whipping him with a towel?
I have to say, my pool man is hot. He's not young, but he is, he's a very manly Armenian man, but he's also the loveliest. And there were times when I was super broke, like a couple years ago, there was one time he showed up and I was like, I will have a check for you next week. And he was just like, don't worry about it. Don't worry about it.
Oh.
Like it's on him. Or I'm like, it's what you do for a living.
That's so great.
I can't not pay you. But anyway, he showed up at my house yesterday when he normally comes Tuesday. And he said, I come today because tomorrow is the Armenian genocide. And he made it sound like it was happening tomorrow.
Right.
I don't, like...
Well, we have to do something to stop it.
Why are you cleaning pools today?
No, we were podcasting the last time where I was wondering why all these flags were waving and we were driving through Glendale and they were everywhere.
Yeah.
The flags, I don't say that about people, especially when I'm talking about something like a genocide.
Yeah, good.
The flags were everywhere.
The flags.
Because the people were also.
Because... because Glendale has the highest percentage of Armenian population in anywhere in the world other than Armenia. Did you know that?
That does make sense, but wow.
Yeah, that's where pretty much everybody that lives in Glendale is Armenian.
It's a per capita concentration, not... Or is it a number, like... just sheer numbers, I wonder.
I gotta get into my analytics.
Not sure. we gotta get into that Encyclopedia Britannica.
Britannica.
Do you remember how expensive encyclopedias were when someone had come door to door? And your parents are gone, they come in, they eat some of the food, everything else is blurry. You have to write a check, you have to forge your dad's signature, it's for hundreds of dollars, and it's missing.
You gotta get those encyclopedias.
The N and M, N through M was never, that book was always gone.
That's the most popular book.
Oh, and...
Mollusks, muskets, fucking Mickey Mouse.
You pulled out my whiskey. You pulled out my whiskey laugh. Oh, you thought of so many good M's real quick. That was a good, fun time.
There is truly a ton of Armenian people just are driving around with the flags because they're commemorating it. Oh, no, it's a car accident.
No, this is a commemorative car accident.
this is the real deal.
Wow.
Now they're fighting.
I don't think they should be fighting.
Please don't fight. She's gesturing a lot.
Yeah, they're doing a lot. She's like, but I don't understand why you ran into me. I understand how, but why did you do it? Yeah, she's taking advantage of how that's a nice man.
I don't...
Or maybe it's the other way around.
It could be,
Let's think of it that way. Let's go, let's turn around and square things out for him. I'm a Geico adjuster.
You stand over there.
Everything you say from this point forward will be representing you, me, in a court of law. I don't know all the words. Sit down, ma'am.
This is our new podcast.
Yes. The ill-informed insurance adjuster.
The comedy that comes forthwith.
When I had my epic rear-ending days before we started in your old fit.
The fit.
And it was the interrogation that happened afterwards. It was one of the most... I'm like, no one's going to get... take control over my brain and make me say the wrong thing. But, God, she was really good at it. And we really were at a little table with a bright light. Like, wait, I thought your head went forward and then back. You're saying the whiplash went back and then forward? Because before it was the other way around. And I'm like... it was awful, and I would get so frustrated and be like, ma'am, do you like your job? Is this enjoyable? Like, I was losing it. But we still got the...
they found that guy, in your favor?
That's one thing I learned, and this is just driving advice, and it's part of the theme of the podcast. If you get in a car wreck, don't make sure you can get the cops to show up. Get an accident thing.
Report, we didn't do it.
This guy drove away. He didn't have insurance, and no one's going to hunt him down.
No.
He just left town, I think.
I'm sure he did.
I still follow him on Twitter. But I never said anything to him. He's a personal trainer. He lives in Denver now.
Oh, yeah.
His dad's a Mayo Clinic doctor, yeah.
Uh-oh.
I know exactly what he looks like. He's in great shape. He's been working on his cardio. He's lost a bunch of weight.
Oh, my God.
It's the guy, yeah.
I'm scared right now of you.
Well, I was looking for the right time to be like, hey.
Now that you lost some weight, give us money.
I do. I am a little weird. When I hear, I'm like, so-and-so, this guy killed someone, or there's, you know, I find them on Facebook and I look at their pictures.
Just in case?
Because, no, they're just people and you can find them.
That's whenever, true. They are just people.
It's like, so-and-so murdered someone in Texas, and then I look it up, Texas, look up their name, there they are, wearing, with a Confederate flag behind them. There was some guy that Ngayo Bedlam, what's his name?
Yeah, that's his name.
Ngayo Bedlam, yeah.
Bedlam, yeah.
There was some guy that he posted, there's an article about him, like, he got bit by a rattlesnake and in the head by a bear.
Ooh.
And then by a shark all within 4 years.
Oh, right, yeah.
And so it was like, and I was like, oh, wow. And then I saw he's like an outdoorsman. Found him on Facebook. And it's all Confederate flags. Like, he's a lunatic. Yeah.
No.
And I'm like, well, the tweet was like, maybe you shouldn't fuck with animals. Or I'm like, well, you also shouldn't fuck with Confederate flags. Maybe the animals are trying to tell you to stop.
Yeah, that's right.
Being a dick.
Maybe you're not that smart.
Maybe. I think that's probably what it is.
I mean.
Yeah. And the bear, I have to say, his bear situation, I really, because all of his pictures, it was like, I know what year they all happened. It's so crazy.
That you can get that deep into someone's life.
Yeah. And the only reason it took 4 years is because the snake thing happened a long time ago. But the bear and the shark, that was like this year.
Yeah.
And the bear, his head, teeth, bears are so scary.
They're so scary. They're monsters.
And In the article that I read, it's just like, yeah, he grabbed me and drugged me a few feet, and my friend scared him away. But no, I saw on his Facebook, right next to Don't Tread on Me flags, which I think is a gun thing, there was, like, full-on teeth marks in his head and, like, crushy skull time.
Shit.
Yeah. Ryan Seacrest has a terrible smile.
Well, it's quite empty.
It's an empty smile.
As you look at that picture, there's billboard. We're in the part of Los Angeles, and we drive out here a lot, where there's just weird, random billboards for things that either you've never heard of or you would never watch, like Ryan Seacrest's KIIS radio show.
Yeah, yeah.
And the picture that we were just looking at, he looks like a middle-aged housewife who got some face work done.
Yeah, he's got the same smile as Vanna White. It's so strange.
Yeah. And the eyes are dead.
Yeah.
Oh, Ryan. He was our number one fan secretly until this moment.
Yeah, he probably, you know, I think about that all the time. What if Seacrest was a big listener?
If that's true, I would say stop sexually assaulting people.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, Seacrest out. Get out.
Get out.
Really? What kind of a, oh.
His wardrobe person had, it's very bad.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. And that's the kind of thing they do not, like somebody like Ryan Seacrest, where he's literally hosting five huge conglomerate-based things.
He doesn't have time to date. You got to speed
you
date.
You got to grab at whatever's near you.
Maybe I could pencil you in right now. Put down my face makeup. Ow, I hurt my elbow.
But no, I don't want to because you have dead eyes.
Yeah.
And the smile of a lizard.
Yes, it is a lizard-like smile.
He's very reptilian. Look at these two. What you doing? Oh, this is the airport.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, we're jet suite.
let's drive out on the tarmac.
That's where rich people go to take their little jets.
Oh, sure. You know, though, my manager, Jessica, who's the best, and she ran the whole Paul Ryan thing, and it went very... thank God she did it all for
yeah,
me.
Yeah, she's good.
But her husband flies, and they got a plane for, like, $16,000, like the price of a car. And they use these airports. There's no, like, charge. They fly around all the time on a regular person's budget.
That's awesome.
They're like, do you want to go to Palm Springs? We have a little plane. I'm like, what?
You know what? Are she made a real good move. Well, because if he's the pilot, you're done. That's all you need. If you got the pilot.
He flies for fun.
Yeah.
He just flies around.
God. Also, pilots are so... Did you hear the recording of the... Southwest pilot, and she was having to report in to air traffic control because part of the engine fell out.
Oh God, no!
And she's like cool as a cucumber, and basically lands this Southwest flight.
Did it just happen?
Yeah.
In the explosion of that engine was a person, and this is the worst.
No, is this true?
Partially.
No.
Partially sucked out of the plane. Partially.
Is this true?
Yeah, it did just happen. An engine blew up. It caused a momentary something with the pressure, but a person was partially pulled from the plane, which means, and they later passed. All you have to do is hear the word partially, though, and it's like, wow, everyone on that plane saw something terrible that day.
Wait a second.
Yes.
The plane, because of the explosion, had a window go out and somebody got sucked out?
Partially.
What?
I know. All you have to do is Google the word partially an airplane.
No.
There aren't pictures. I've already been too graphic.
I mean.
This person passed.
Because I thought for a second you were saying, sorry, but I thought you were saying that they were hiding in the airplane engine, and that's the partially part.
No, they were just.
Sitting in their
in
seat.
In their seat, asking for peanuts, and all of a sudden.
Now.
Good.
That never happens. We need if you're on a plane right now, you need to know that you're safer in your bathroom.
Very rare. Yes. Thank you for listening while in the skies. But you know.
That's crazy.
Yeah, it makes me want to have an aisle seat from now on.
You gotta put that seatbelt on.
My
everybody.
Friend and it was such a detailed text about what he experienced. I will show it to you later, but my friend was on a plane. And he heard commotion up front. People kind of cried out and in a way that they were scared.
Yeah.
And there was just a little bit of, like, turbulence for a second. But then he said he looked up and there was, like, red jelly or something on hitting the ceiling. He said it looked like someone was squirting.
Uh-uh.
And he's like, oh, God, don't let that be blood. A bird hit the side of the plane, broke the outer window... momentarily, when it hit the inner window, momentarily created a gap, and then it sucked back. So, for a second, it wasn't even noticeable pressure-wise. But it was enough time for the squished bird to shoot through this gap, and however the pressure was going, it shot bird blood onto the ceiling.
No!
Into the plane. A bird, while in the air...
No.
I will send you his text and you will not doubt a word of it because he's one of the most honest friends I know, my
buddy
Adam.
It's just so awful to think about
that. It was so awful. And he said it was, he's like, and this is going to sound made up and insanely, like everything he prefaced it with, I know this sounds crazy. So I believed all of it. And I do.
That's kind of all you have to say.
Yes.
If you acknowledge how insane your lie is.
Yes.
No.
And it's going to sound crazy, but then some translucent bird friends with angel wings on top of their regular wings carried off his soul.
Double wings.
I'm telling you, I saw it all with my own two eyes. Flight 333.
Sanctuary.
Sanctuary.
There's all these weird, like, all of a sudden there's a really nice store and we're out by the fucking dumps.
Yeah.
Like, we're out by, like, the places where you can buy scrap metal, but then there's a sanctuary store.
And another... castle-themed building to lure children.
Yes.
Just like in our first episode.
Oh, that's right.
Remember?
Electrosonic. Yes, I do.
What happens at Electrosonic?
I don't know, but I bet you that was some cheap real estate.
Yeah, this is an interesting area. And what was Sanctuary?
It's, well, from what I remember, I think it's a clothing label. So that was like a, it was basically like a kind of fancy women's clothing store, but out by the railroad tracks.
Weird.
Very odd.
Maybe they do manufacturing there.
Perhaps it's a factory outlet.
Yes.
One of the factory outlets.
I had vivid dreams and then memories from the dream, which is, I love when that happens because usually I don't dream and I figure it's because my brain is
sending
depleting.
A message.
We don't have. Well. I've been reading a lot about it, Alzheimer's research, by the way. They're getting very close. I don't think we have to worry about anything.
That's what my sisters told me.
Yeah, yeah. I've been sent many articles and it's good news. We're okay. Going to be fine.
Okay, good.
Yeah. Anyway. I had a dream about the Esprit factory outlet.
In San Francisco.
And my sister, yes, and my sister insisting on going.
Yes.
And me sort of being excited, too, because I knew it was, like, cool clothes. And but she kind of lied to me and said, well, it's unisex. It's girls' clothes.
It's girls, yeah.
But I did dig, you just dig through bins, and it was, like, a free-for-all, you know, $1, $2, $3, $5 items. No $4 items, though.
Well, and also a big thing about going to the Esprit outlet was everyone in the, all the girls in the barrio knew there was a chance if you went to the Esprit outlet and the and you got spotted, you might get asked to model in the next year's catalog.
Really?
So, yeah, because there were girls that we knew or that were like from our hometown or whatever that that happened to.
Oh, wow.
So, even me, who was pretty much the most average American-looking girl when I was, like, 12, got this idea in my head that if I went there, I could be a model,
Yeah, you'd doll up and, yeah. like, pick out of the bins, not seductively, but in picturesque ways.
Yes, in kind of a upbeat esprit de corps way.
Right, right.
Yeah, that's what, it
that's
was so insane.
Funny.
And my mom, the whole time my mom was like, can you just pick something so we can go? And I was just like, hold on.
There's cameras in here. This is like an audition.
I have to get seen.
Yeah, of course you'd been there. That's totally your stomping grounds.
Well, and also your sister and I think are the same age. And that is that kind of shit where like only people from basically who grew up in the mid-80s.
Yeah.
Like Esprit is 1986, 1,000%.
Oh, yeah. It was cool, though.
Yeah.
It was always cool stuff. I liked it. I wear her hand-me-downs. I wore some Esprit stuff.
It's all good.
No one called me out.
No.
Said, those are girls' clothes. I'm like, look at my hair. I bleached my bangs and cut the rest of my hair. So I just have a starfish of bangs.
And then you had like what? Like some leggings with little stars? Navy blue leggings with some stars?
Yeah. I think just a sweatshirt with the Esprit logo.
Esprit.
I didn't get into the lower... the leggings and the socks and
okay.
the leg warmers and what have you.
You didn't do little mini leg warmers?
That's I did cute. The tops. I did all the tops.
Well, the Esprit logo was cool, too, because remember the E didn't
yeah,
have the...
it's just three lines.
That's
parallel.
Good. That's nice design.
It was. It was a good design. It's very 80s.
And also light pastel rainbow.
Oh, yeah. There was a lot of pastels.
It was all about that pastel
and,
pink.
And neon. I think they... right? Didn't, it was mostly pastel.
Maybe.
You're right.
Maybe. I don't know. Oh, let's go down a detour.
Yeah, let's do it.
Down out, down out, bzz, down out, down out.
I want to get some Esprit clothes. Why don't they bring it back?
They should.
It would do great.
Well, also, there's lots of, like, in women's clothing, there are leggings, like these leggings that I have on right now.
Mm-hmm.
I wore these leggings when I was in, like, freshman in high school. They were Esprit, where they're just basically well-shaped sweatpants that aren't, like, floppy at the bottom. They just come
right.
down to a cuff. Like, that's all I wore when I was in high school.
And the only thing they're missing, probably, and correct me if I'm wrong, is little stirrups at the bottom.
That's right. Right? I had those, too.
Yeah, yeah. They keep your leggings from... people realize quickly, though, that leggings, there is no threat of them climbing up.
No.
It's like, no need for the stirrup.
No, not unless you're... excuse me. Unless you are so tall and thin that the width of your calves and the width of your thighs are the same... and that those pants are just going to go straight up. There's no, like for me, the way, like stirrup pants weren't good because I had more of a big thighs. So that downward pull, it always felt like I was being pulled.
Well, hopefully everyone's legs are kind of tapered down to it. What you described before, like a person with the same width, calf and thigh, that's a stilt-legged person. The only person I know to be like that is Olive Oil, the cartoon.
That's right. Well, that was the way you were supposed to look in the 80s. That was the look.
Like Shelley Duvall?
No, Popeye. My sweatshirt.
Oh, shit. Explain to me now, speaking of Popeye, we're diving deep.
Okay.
Why is there Bluto and then Brutus? What happened? Why is there
Brutus? Brutus, I believe, is from a Shakespearean play, isn't he?
And no, remember Popeye? Brutus. Pretty good Popeye.
Look what's happening. I went down the worst possible place I could go.
Dead end. That's how Popeye used to talk.
Right. Just making noises.
When I live with Tig, I would always do that voice. I'm like, shiver me. It wasn't even very good, but for some reason she liked it.
And then
I was in the alley, and my neighbor introduced himself. Hi, I'm your neighbor. And I was like, hi.
No.
And I'm like, sorry, my name's Chris. I introduced myself as Popeye. That's how deep into character I get.
It's good.
I won't break out. You can even come and shake my hand.
I would like some kind of a fact check, though, on this Bluto Brutus thing, because I don't think Brutus was a part of Popeye.
I think I know what I'm talking about, but maybe not. I think Bluto, because I used to confuse him for Pluto, which is, of course, the dog. And yeah. Goofy, you know, I know Pluto and Goofy, there's a confusion there sometimes.
Right.
But, Brutus was there. At some point, they had to change his name. Maybe it was like, I'm going to sue you. And they're like, okay, we'll name him Bluto. Or the other way around.
No, he started as Bluto.
But it was always the guy with the big black goatee beard that was jagged like a... like a poorly opened can of spinach. similar line work. Someone drew me some feathers as fingers, and I was very, it was a study. It was multi.
Feather fingers.
Yeah. Anyway, thank you for that.
Would they mail it to you?
It was on Twitter. That's, any interaction really isn't in real life.
true. Here's Armenian genocide again.
Oh, wow. They're really...
Pay your respects.
What do you do? There's going to be an event, or do you just kind of drive around with the flags?
Well, they usually have, parade-like things. Move up, friend. They have kind of parade-y things.
Yeah. I wonder why you won't move up. It's part of the commemoration.
You gotta leave 20
feet
of space.
Three car lanes in front of you.
There we go.
Oh, he's actually... Yeah. Oh, okay.
You got it, buddy.
He's looking down.
I'm not honking on Armenian genocide
day.
No,
exactly. I was gonna dive in front of the wheel if you were thinking about it.
Honk.
No!
But one time
not
I was on
the
Wilshire,
end of the podcast.
And I turned a corner, mm-hmm. and I walked into an Armenian genocide, commemorative parade.
Did you grab your collar and go, this is awkward?
I spun on one heel and ran. In place for a little while.
All right.
But I mean, they do have parades, was the point of that anecdote.
Yeah. I think that maybe we just don't know where it is. We aren't invited.
Yeah, it's not about us.
Because I'm just a generic old gringo.
Yeah. Your time has passed. No one wants to inform you of anything anymore.
I really am getting old.
Sorry for the bad news.
Yeah, I know my time has passed. I can't even read my pancake box anymore.
Fucking gringos, man.
Gringo comes from a song with the lyrics, green grows the grass or something.
Is that true?
Yeah.
Where'd you get that factoid?
There's also a Greek... There's two different things I saw online. But then the people that do my lawn, because you have a pool person, I have a lawn and garden person.
Oh.
It's part of the rental company. But their company is called Green Grows Lawn Services. And I asked the guy, and he was like, yep, that's where the word gringo comes from, is from Green Grow. Some song that people sang during the... Revolutionary War or some sort of Spanish-American War. That makes more sense.
And it's the things that white people, it's the song white people sang?
Yeah, and then so the Mexican folks were like, well, the gringos are coming, them and their stupid song that they sing ad nauseum because it's on the Billboard charts this year.
That's funny.
Yeah, but then I looked up and gringo actually has Greek roots, so it could be a rumor.
It could be lots of different explanations.
It could be just another story, another yarn my dad spun. Like, you know, Albert Broccoli from James Bond invented broccoli.
Oh, yeah. That's such a dad fake fact.
But that guy's family did, they were farmers.
Well, that's all that matters then.
And broccoli, no, I mean the broccoli really was a thing that started in the 50s. Like before that, it was just cauliflower and then whatever they spliced it with. But broccoli is a new vegetable.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
You're full of facts today, Chris.
Well, I mean, if I can't be funny, because that part of my brain isn't working today.
Let's talk about broccoli
just
then.
Just misfiring. I really, you know, I spent a lot of my funny juice on the tour. And now I'm just like, want to be...
You must be relieved it's over.
I am relieved.
And that it went great.
It went great, yeah, especially by the last show. It was like... The first one was a practice show, and it was like a smaller venue. Chicago was great because everyone was in on it, and they loved it.
Awesome.
But then a blizzard came.
Right.
But I wanted it to go well at the at Madison, the comedy club on State. It's my favorite place. And a bunch of people came, and it was great. We figured it out by then.
Love it.
And then I retired from politics.
Because when you first told me you were doing a live show... B, of an impression you've never done before.
Right.
C, politically based.
Yes.
Like, everything about it, I was like, this is giving me the worst stomach ache of all time.
And
because
it did.
What more...
Yes.
It's almost like you went straight into the eye of the most contentious place that you could go, which is American politics today.
Yes.
And then went and made jokes about it, and then it went good.
I feel like I realized quickly that the audience didn't necessarily, they weren't there to fact check everything I was going to say, and I just needed to make sure I had jokes. So once...
They just wanted to be entertained.
Yeah, and it was really fun. And it was like, I forgot how much I enjoyed just being asked a question and then bullshit answering, and that kind of improv is in my wheelhouse, and no one was there to remind me.
Yep.
And then I was doing this, and I'm like, oh, this is the easy part, is not knowing what these people are going to ask.
That's kind of fun. That's the fun.
Yeah. And it's what makes this fun, what we do. But today I just, you know, I just, I feel like I've been not as funny as other days. That's okay.
No, we do different, we do different gears. We're complex people.
Yeah.
Also, you know, last night I was going to bed. I was searching and searching on TV and on my recordings and everything. I just wanted to watch something pretty looking that was quiet. And I couldn't fucking find. Everything had screaming in it or some kind of like paced up shit. And I just wanted to look at something and like have it relax me.
Like wilderness, outdoors. Oh, goodness.
Sorry.
That's okay. That's what it sounds like when we harmonize right before a car wreck.
Jesus. Yes.
I don't know how to harmonize.
That was so irritating.
Yeah.
That's what people do all the time in LA. I think it's because everyone's stoned all the time. Is people come to a full fucking stop. They don't get out of the way.
Right.
They just like kind of stop driving and adjust to what's going on with them and not think about the people behind them.
Yeah, totally. Also, that pedestrian was being very disrespectful.
Yes. That was a goth pedestrian, and they're out there to show disrespect.
Yeah, they're just looking down, thinking about how they hate their dads.
They're just showing the world, you're my dad, and I hate you. Everything.
But... We have different gears in Tate. Today we're in a different gear.
Because also sometimes what I love about podcasts is that like when I'm trying to get my shit done in the morning, like doing the dishes and doing laundry, cleaning my house, I like to stick in and people, like I think we undervalue just plain old conversation because we're comics and we're so like funny laugh. I want to make you do the old wheeze laugh.
Right.
That's our goal between each other. But
yeah,
like,
it's a laugh contest.
We don't. It's a wait till you're done talking so I can talk contest. Which is how we are as comics, but there are some people who are just like, I like two people talking to each other.
Right. Yeah.
You know, they must because that's fucking all this is.
Totally. Right? Yeah. Maybe. I think people like the wheezy laughing, though.
Well, yeah. I mean,
we should start faking it.
Okay. Just say whatever.
Ow, it hurts when you fake it.
It does. Don't push it too hard because you can get a hernia.
Yeah, fake it till you burst it.
Sincerely, Ellen Burstyn.
Oh, I love her early work.
Her one woman show, Sincerely Ellen
Burstyn. I'm thinking
Ellen
of Candace Bergen. No, I'm thinking of Ellen Barkin.
Or Meredith Burgess Meredith.
I'm thinking of Maria Conchita Alonso.
You mean Maria Callas?
Yes, I'm thinking of Marie Callender's and their different pies.
You're thinking of a chicken pot pie. God damn it. Why did my brain stop entirely on chicken pot pie?
Hey, I'm sorry. We have a little contest. I just happened to win. I just won that round.
You son of a
You'll
bitch.
You'll get your chance.
You drove me into a wall with that chicken pot pie Marie Callender's reference. Pie.
To think it even came late.
How you could say, that not be right there?
You say something like chicken pot pie, it better at least come out immediately. Not only did that come out late, it was a stinker. I went too far.
No, it's okay. I needed to cook it like a chicken pot pie for 12 minutes.
Why do I realize I can't stop thinking about Jimmy Pardo because he has a chicken pot pie joke.
He does?
I love chicken pot pie. It's a soup with a roof. You break it open and there's stuff inside. It's like ice fishing, except it's hot. So it's nothing, and there's no fish. It's nothing like ice fishing. It's the best. It's pot pie soup bit.
It's soup with a roof.
Soup with a roof. And he did this thing with his hand. It's probably a joke. It's funny that you remember jokes of people's that are like 15 years old.
Yes.
He probably doesn't even do it anymore.
I bet he doesn't. Although, that's one he can pull out if he's doing dinner theater.
Right.
Or at the table at home.
Right. It works for any occasion. Except the table at home probably has heard it. Last time you had soup.
Right.
Or pie.
Yeah, I'm sure the family's sick of it.
Yeah.
I bet Danielle Koenig doesn't make soup or pie because she doesn't want to hear that joke anymore.
If we can end this podcast on anything, it's that, you know, Jimmy Pardo's whole family is sick of him.
I will tell my favorite Danielle Koenig joke if you want to do other people's bits.
It's been so long since I've seen her do stand-up. I don't.
She's so good and so funny.
She is funny. She does a lot of writing.
Yeah. She's a big writer. But I like, she used to do a joke. She would say that she had both of her parents were actors. Her father, famously, was Chekhov on Star Trek.
Why do I always forget that? Yeah.
It's the coolest
thing.
And
he's the sweetest ever.
Yes. So her joke was, because her mom was also an actress, and it was really irritating because she was the kind of mom when they'd be like, come on, mom, can we have dessert? And her mom would go, there's fresh bananas on the counter. And that's like how she did the voice of her mom.
In a theatrical...
Like, they never did it. Like, they couldn't have dessert. They weren't, like, normal people at all. Like, so if they wanted dessert, well, there's fresh bananas on the counter.
That's weird. Someone else, I can't remember if it's a friend or a comedian or someone wanting dessert, and their mom going, there's apples and celery in the crisper. It was like someone's, that's funny.
Yeah.
Maybe I'm thinking of her joke. I don't know. But that's...
But then you rewrote it to apples and celery?
When I went to her parents' house once for something, for a party.
Okay.
And Walter Koenig had a room of toys, like not just Star Trek toys. It was the coolest thing ever. And he was so proud of it, and he showed me all of these old Star Trek toys, all these sci-fi toys from the back in the 40s, some
Ooh,
of them. And it was
cool.
The cool, and it was like nicely arranged, and there was like glass cases. It was really cool, and it was cute how he was like super into showing them off.
Yeah.
And I really like that man.
I love it.
Very nice.
I love those people that are like, they're legends, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And then like in real life, they're actually cool. They're not.
Oh, yeah. He was not like, he was just excited about it like a fan.
Oh.
Of, like, he was a fan, but it's him.
Yeah.
It was real, yeah, he's real cool.
That's very
cool. So here's to the Canaan Cardos.
Oh, now that we're back at my house, I can't honk because my racist neighbor Chuck will
get mad.
Oh, right,
it's okay.
He'll put up another rock.
Doing a mouth horn doesn't come up a lot anymore, so I like to end with one.
Oh, great. Okay.
Yeah, so
what a great opportunity for you.
You've been listening to Do You Need a Ride? D-Y-N.
A-R.
Are you leaving or are you on your way back home? Either way, we want to be there. Doesn't matter how much baggage you claim. Give us a time and date. Terminal and gate. We want to send you off in style. We want to welcome you back home. Tell us all about it. Were you scared or was it fine?
Mouth horn.
With Karen and Chris.